I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome, everybody, to one of our final shows, the Sportster Show, brought to you by thesportster.com. My name is Jim Parsons. I shouldn't say final show. I should say final show of 2022. That would be more clear because we are not stopping this podcast. Norman Quarantine's with me on the other end. Norman, how you doing?
I'm good, man. And yeah, this is probably going to be our last show of the year. And then, but we will be recording another episode soon. That will probably be the first show of 2023. So but don't worry, we got it all figured out.
So yeah, we're not going anywhere, but we are recording here just to cover the news a little bit. And we're going to have a quick conversation about what we liked, what we didn't like in 2022, because it's always easy at the end of the year to reflect back. And there were some big changes in the world of professional wrestling in 2022. The biggest, of course, being that Vince McMahon is no longer with WWE and Triple H has taken over there. That was a huge development, maybe the biggest development in wrestling in a decade. I mean, it was a massive story. But let's talk about some front page news, things that are going on current events wise, and then we'll talk about the 2022 year. This won't be a really long one. We're actually recording right before SmackDown, a big SmackDown with John Cena coming back for WWE. He's going to be teaming with Kevin Owens and taking on Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns. Let's talk about that a little bit. What are you expecting out of John Cena coming to SmackDown? Are you thinking this will lead to something? There's a lot of talk that he should be maybe at the Rumble, maybe at WrestleMania, but there's no confirmation on that. What are you expecting to see as we get ready for SmackDown tonight?
Well, before I do that, I want to apologize to the listeners for in case they can hear. I am currently dog sitting, so you may hear some yappy dogs, and I do apologize for that in the background. Hopefully the mic isn't picking those up, but yeah, just want to get that out there.
So far, so good, but it's just the atmosphere, right?
Yeah, exactly right. It just lets you know that we're real people with real lives.
That's right.
Yeah, so John Cena on SmackDown. Yeah, man. I mean, look, I've enjoyed Cena's returns. When he came back for SummerSlam last year, 2021. Was it 2021 when he came back and fought Roman? Last summer?
Yeah, he did. The last time we saw him was the reunion. Reunion on Raw. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he didn't wrestle then, but...
Yeah, a lot of guys our age, a lot of people our age and our gender are not... weren't always the biggest fans. You know, we weren't necessarily his target demographic, and we probably did get occasionally got a little bit sick of him being rammed down our throats and stuff. You know, had the LOL Cena wins kind of stuff. But when he went away, I didn't realize how much I appreciated him until he was gone, basically. And so I always like it when he comes back. You know, he's a big star now. He seems to be doing, if you remember when he was feuding with The Rock years ago, he kind of made fight. He would sort of roast The Rock for ditching wrestling and going into Hollywood and never coming back to WWE. And Cena could have done that too. And I feel like he's already come back more than The Rock did when Rock initially left. But yeah, I hope at least it's something. I hope they sow the seeds for some WrestleMania storyline tonight. There was, you know, we've written on the site extensively about him and Theory kind of exchanging verbal blows, but also the odd kind of note of appreciation between the two. You know, I think Cena has expressed his you know, said that he's a fan of Theory, and yeah, so I think maybe there's something Austin Theory, there could be something there. Yeah, who knows what the end goal is, but yeah, I do hope they start to sow the seeds tonight.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they'll put a couple different ideas out there, like just in case, to cover their tracks so that mm-hmm. they have options for WrestleMania, because we've heard a lot of things about The Rock being their number one goal, but we don't know if he's going to be able to be at WrestleMania 39 yet. Mm-hmm, so they mm-hmm. would need a backup plan for Roman Reigns, which maybe we believe is Cody Rhodes. But at the same mm-hmm. time, if you throw the whole John Cena thing out there, even as just an option, I don't know that's something that they would go with, but an option that you could have Roman Reigns and John Cena, it's not a bad idea, right?
Yeah.
If you've got Theory somehow getting involved in this match tonight, and we have heard rumblings that this is going to be a big SmackDown, like the WWE really wants to have this show be a wowzer. So I'm expecting a debut of some kind. I'm expecting a big storyline of some kind, some sort of shocking twist of some kind. I think this will be a very big SmackDown, the final one of 2022. So I don't know if it'll all revolve around John Cena, but I think they'll probably set the stage for something with him, even if they don't know if he's going to be back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The reason he's wrestling tonight is because he hasn't wrestled at all this year, and that's what he wanted to make sure that he had done, was keep that streak going of wrestling once at least every year. So I'm assuming he's going to wrestle next year, you know, 2023. I don't know what it's going to be at, whether it's a SmackDown or a Raw or WrestleMania, but I can imagine that he's probably thinking, yeah, I do want to come back at least one time.
Yeah, and I think he's probably more capable of having a lengthy, well, we saw it at the SummerSlam main event with Roman, which was actually, as I recall, that was a really good match, you know. Yeah, I think they're more likely to get a 25-minute banger out of Cena than they are out of The Rock right now. So if The Rock isn't able to appear at WrestleMania or work a match at WrestleMania, then yeah, just plug Cena into that instead. Maybe you can have Cena and Roman, and then the next night you can have Roman and Cody, or Cena and Cody, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I don't think we're gonna see Cody tonight, but I wouldn't be shocked. Like
we might see a vignette, a package thing, because they've been showing those packages since they wrote him off TV, basically, you know.
Yeah, they've been putting him on TV a little bit more, right? They've got him. They had him on the Monday Night Raw, the best year in review of 2022, and he was kind of teasing that he was coming back pretty soon. So I wouldn't be shocked if he makes an appearance of some kind and maybe sets up some sort of teaser. We don't know exactly what's happening with Bray Wyatt. There's some talk that he was injured, maybe broke his finger in a WWE live event match. I don't anticipate this is going to keep him out of anything that they've got planned, because they have a program with LA Knight that they're working on. But we found out about a Pitch Black match that's happening at the Royal Rumble coming up here for the first major event in 2023. Do you believe that this Pitch Black match is Bray Wyatt, or is it something else?
It's probably Bray, right? It can't be. I don't really see who else it could be. I'm hoping that it isn't. I'm hoping that the title of the match isn't like a super descriptive, isn't super descriptive of the match. Cause I don't think they would do anything as silly as to have like a, you know, not have anything lit or whatever. But no clue what it could be, but I'm looking forward to finding out.
Yeah, I would hope that they have some sort of idea. The idea of just having a totally darker, like, it's one thing when you turn out all the lights and you used to have like Sabu show up, right? It was out for like 30 seconds, and then all of a sudden Sabu, not even that long, it was like 10 seconds. It felt like a lot longer. But
yeah,
when you have like The Undertaker pop up from under the ring, or you have, it's one thing to turn the lights off for the arena for a very, but if you have an entire map, I just think that's risky. If I'm WWE, I don't know if I'm doing that. So I'm thinking they've got another plan, because it leads to so many possible, like, injuries, could be fans getting in each other's faces, could be a lot of things that could happen in the dark, right? It's not the best idea if that's what you're planning on doing, is turning off the lights for the entire whatever in an arena for 10, 15 minutes. I just can't see them doing that.
Yeah, right? I'm sure it will be something a bit more creative.
Yeah, let's hope. Because it would be really weird if they just said, you know what, let's just have some flashlights in the ring and these guys are spotlights on them or something, because it just seems like a disaster. But it's at the Royal Rumble, where there's already, you know, arguably the biggest gimmick match that WWE has, which is the Rumble itself, and everybody really looks forward to that one. Do you expect to see, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, are you, you know, when we do a prediction show for 2023 and our New Year's resolution show, we'll talk about this, but are you thinking that there's going to be anybody coming back here in the near future that might be at the Royal Rumble? Like, are you expecting any superstars that we haven't seen in a while, or somebody that could pop up even tonight on SmackDown that might be headed towards the Rumble?
Yeah, I think we'll see. I think Cody will come back at the Rumble ultimately. I think the timing is going to work out there, and I think that would be a smart move. And, you know, I think he should win, honestly. If he is fit and ready to go, I think he should win the Men's Rumble for sure. Tonight on SmackDown, you know, we don't want to like age this this episode too prematurely, but yeah, maybe Chelsea Green shows up. I think we've seen a lot of rumors about her coming back. I think she'll be back. Probably, I imagine she'll be in the Women's Rumble for sure.
You think Matt Cardona would be with her if she does, or they would keep those two things separately? Because those are, that's a real life relationship, right? And there's been some teases that Cardona, although he doesn't want to become Zack Ryder again, he sort of teased that maybe he wouldn't mind coming back to WWE at some point. I don't think there's anything there yet, but maybe.
Yeah. I mean, if they came calling, he'd go back in a heartbeat, probably, maybe with some caveats. But yeah, I don't think we'll see him. I don't think we're going to see him anytime soon, but I'd be surprised if he didn't return to WWE at some point.
One person that we may not see, but there was a lot of talk that he could be showing up here in the near future, is Tyson Fury, the professional boxer. He was at the Clash of the Castle event. He was has been at other events, not in North America, but there's some talk that they want him for the Rumble and WrestleMania, but there's also some talk of work visa issues, and now they might be rethinking this whole thing because Tyson Fury apparently, and I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently he doesn't really want to lose anything. He doesn't want to be eliminated from the Rumble. He doesn't want to look weak. I don't know how you use a guy like that if he's not willing to do any sort of job or be eliminated from the Rumble. What do you do with him? So I'll ask you this, whether it's true or not, I'm not sure. Do you mind if Tyson Fury does not come back to WWE and be involved in the product in any way?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for him to pop up every now and then, maybe in a Mike Tyson sort of role where he's not involved in any actual matches because, you know, he's not a wrestler, he's a boxer. I do think he's quite charismatic. He's a character, isn't he? He's got, so he's a very entertaining person and obviously an incredibly gifted athlete. Yeah, I don't mind him showing up every now and then, like, you know, just messing around, maybe throwing a punch here and there. But yeah, I don't think I'm not super interested in him taking a spot in the Rumble.
Well, Triple H seems to like him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of the most curious about. Like, for me, Tyson Fury, he's got a name. He's recognizable. He's going to bring in a certain element of fans that watch boxing, because boxing is an interesting sport now. It's really changed with the, you know, celebrity matches and things like that. But Fury's still part of that group of boxers who are boxing, and he is going to bring an element to WWE. But from what I understand and what I've read, it's millions of dollars that WWE is willing to spend on him to be at the Rumble and at WrestleMania. I'm just wondering if maybe there's money better spent. You know, if he's not willing to play ball, so to speak, with WWE, why not use that money in other ways? Like, if it's costing you that much to bring in Tyson Fury for those two events, I just think, to me, you know, I get the appeal, but I think there's maybe something better. I don't see Tyson Fury as the kind of person who could have a long run in WWE. Triple H seems to think maybe he's bred for this, like he's perfect for WWE, and that there could be a really long-term future there. I don't know if I see it, but yeah, I would use the money in other ways, but
yeah,
that's just me.
Yeah, I agree.
What about Kevin Owens? He made a comment about probably re-signing with WWE. He signed a 2-year deal, and he says, or he's got 2 years left or whatever the case is, and he wants to re-sign again. He sees no reason to go anywhere. Good news for WWE. Not a big deal for WWE. Where do you sit with this?
No, really big news. He's obviously an asset. You know, he's an asset anywhere he goes. He's an incredible performer, extremely charismatic, by all accounts, a very, very nice dude. I still hasn't been booked to his full potential in WWE. I think that there is a monster heel title run somewhere. If you can even get him over as a heel anymore, he's so beloved now, you know, after paying his dues in that Austin WrestleMania match, you know, which he rightfully got a lot of plaudits for. Him re-signing, just like when he re-signed, you know, was it last year or something when people thought he was maybe going to AEW, and then he re-signed and made the decision.
I think he signed a 3-year, and that's probably why he's got the 2 left. Yeah,
right. Made the best decision for his family financially, which was a very smart move. And look, this is again one of the benefits of AEW's existence, and we've talked about this before. You know, like, these guys are going to get more money than they would have if there wasn't any competition. People like Kevin Owens are actually going to get paid closer to what they deserve than they would have if AEW didn't exist.
Yeah, no, I think it's good for WWE. I like the idea of Kevin Owens sticking around. I am a little concerned about his injury history. He talks about how he's got some real issues in terms of some days he feels great and other days he really can barely move. So I don't know what that means long term for a guy like him, especially the bumps that he takes in some of the matches that he puts on, because he always says doesn't matter if he wins or loses, he just wants to create those moments, and some of those moments include some pretty crazy spots. So we'll see.
I feel like people have forgotten about that his feud with Roman as well during the pandemic, which was one of the highlights of the of the whole Thunderdome era. That was he's brilliant, and they're lucky to have him.
We would be remiss if we didn't cover this in terms of a really big element of news today. Legendary TNA commentator Don West passed away at the age of 59. For those that know TNA, he was kind of the voice. Mike Tenay and Don West were really the guys in TNA that everybody really associates with that product. Really big loss for the world of professional wrestling. If you don't know Don West, you probably would recognize him as soon as you saw him. He's done a bunch of like infomercial type stuff, really into the collectible scene, the sports memorabilia with wrestling in general, and a lot of that stuff. So sad day for wrestling fans, especially those of TNA. We lost Don West today. Your thoughts on Don West?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don West and Mike Tenay, absolutely brilliant commentary team, very underrated. Absolute highlights of Impact, even if the on-screen product wasn't always super entertaining or engaging, they always gave it 110% and had brilliant chemistry. And absolutely terrible loss to the wrestling world. And our thoughts go out to his friends and family.
So let's talk, before we end things here today, a little bit about the year 2022. So I'll ask you, I'll give you mine, and then I'll ask you one more, and then I'll give you mine. So highlight of 2022 for you, if you look both at WWE and AEW, and you could pick the one highlight, the biggest storyline, the biggest development, the biggest positive in wrestling, whether it's WWE or AEW, what would it be for you?
So this is kind of a tough one, really. And for the listener, we didn't. Jim and I have been very, very busy over the holidays. Jim has a family, and I have. Jim has a family and dogs, and I have a wife and dogs. I haven't super prepared for this. And off the top of my head, the first thing, Cody Rhodes' return at WrestleMania was amazing and so brilliantly done. I got goosebumps from watching it. I love to rewatch it. It's so crazy how he completely just flipped the script on his stock, right? Because if you remember, in AEW, fans were getting really sick of him. He had that sort of terrible feud with Anthony Ogogo, and he did the cheesy boots in the ring fake retirement thing that nobody bought for a second. And his stock was, towards the end of his AEW run, was pretty low. And then he immediately just changed tact, went to WWE and got, pushed to the moon until he was injured. You get the sense that, I don't know what you think, but the way that the speed with which he was, the intensity with which they were sort of presenting him on screen made it seem like he was gonna be the guy to vanquish Roman, maybe even at SummerSlam or something like that. So yeah, Cody's return definitely was a thing that sticks out in my mind. And then yeah, the Vince McMahon, you know, finally parting ways with his baby, huge deal. I don't know about you. I haven't seen creatively. I haven't really seen any huge positive steps just yet. But I believe that they are coming for sure.
Yeah, I like the Cody run for sure. And to comment on what you were saying with his push, I believe not only was Cody Rhodes a big star in the eyes of WWE and fans, and maybe the biggest star in AEW, but I think the idea that an AEW star jumped to WWE was massive for WWE, because up until that point, no one had jumped from AEW to WWE. They all went from WWE to AEW, and AEW was building its roster off of people that had jumped. And so this was a reversal of fortune where WWE got the biggest star in AEW, or arguably up until that point. No, Bryan Danielson was coming after that, and Adam Cole and CM Punk, but Cody jumped at the time where he was the guy in AEW. Mm-hmm. And so that was big for WWE. And I understand why they pushed that. And they really wanted to sell the idea. It's like, hey, look, we took their biggest guy, and this is going to, and I think it really has hurt AEW. I believe that the company has had some ups and downs with him there, but without him, I think things have started to go the other way. I think that they really miss him. And that Tony Khan is lost without him. And I believe that he's still struggling trying to figure out, okay, what do I do? How do I manage all this? And I think Cody took a lot of that responsibility. So I think that was a massive loss for AEW. As far as the Vince McMahon thing goes, Triple H taking over. Yeah, creatively, maybe there hasn't been like some really good storyline stuff to sink. I mean, Sami Zayn was sort of on his way, but Triple H has really helped push that forward.
That's true. Yeah. Sami and Roman. Absolutely right there. Yeah.
But the one thing I really like is just the fact that Triple H and Stephanie and Nick Khan, because remember, Nick Khan was taking all the heat for all these people getting laid off, right? He had said, like, if you need somebody to blame, blame me. It's not me, but if you need somebody to blame, blame me. But now you've still got him there in a major CEO position, and he's bringing in all these people with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And I think the element of surprise, whether you consider this a storyline or a dramatic creative direction or not, just that we don't know from every week to week, from every show to show, who's coming back, is a huge difference between what was going on between Vince McMahon and Triple H. Because you can argue that not everybody, and we did the show on this, was not everybody's been a win, and everybody who's returned has not been perfect. But that you don't know, and that anytime you tune into the show, you might see something that you didn't see last week. It's a huge step up from what Vince McMahon was doing, because Vince McMahon just gave you the same old garbage every week.
Yeah.
Right. Over and over. Sure. Repetitive matches, repetitive storylines. He didn't change a thing. Mm-hmm. And you could tell that the writing was like, ah, well, we've got new ideas. We'll just scrap and we'll do my own thing. Triple H isn't doing that. You can see that he's planning this out. You can see that he's bringing people back that he thinks will have an impact with the fan base. And he's trying to create an element of mystery here that fans have missed in WWE for a long time. So I really, really like that.
Yeah.
Those were going to be, Vince McMahon was a low hanging fruit for me. That was going to be my win of 2020.
Okay.
I hope he does not come back. There are rumors that he wants to, but let's just hope that that doesn't happen. What was your low in 2022?
Let's see. I mean, look, again, the first thing that comes to my head is Brawl Out, which obviously for us in the wrestling news media was, you know, a bit of a boon. We got a lot of content out of that. So thanks guys. But yeah, just CM Punk, I think, in general, the kind of disappointing, end to, and kind of waste ultimately the, you know, I think a lot of screen time and a lot of match time was used in trying to get him his moment. And then ultimately it was all ruined for, and all came to nothing. So it's really disappointing that we didn't get we didn't get a actual enjoyable, successful summer of Punk like we were promised in those early moments, injuries and then Brawl Out. So yeah, I'd say that was maybe a low, the AEW. And then I guess I love AEW. I ultimately I do thoroughly enjoy the product normally week in, week out. But there are some very frustrating booking decisions in that company sometimes. And they're even more frustrating than WWE sometimes, because you don't expect it. And there's obviously, sometimes it's just like the obvious thing is right there and they're just not doing it, you know. Or, you know, we've talked about before some of the pushes that have kind of called off for various reasons. Sometimes there's injuries or whatever, but you know, the Wardlow momentum, I think that was they really dropped the ball. They really fumbled that one. And yeah, just a few other guys and girls in there too. But yeah, ultimately I and we'll talk about this more in our next episode, but I do expect I really expect AEW to kick it up a notch in 2023 and maybe try to iron out some of those creases.
Yeah, that's going to be, I'm on the same page as you, a slightly different way when it comes to the low for me. It's definitely on AEW's side. What I like, yeah, the CM Punk thing is a big blow for AEW, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is more, and if I look at it at a bigger, more macro picture, it's the idea that AEW has prioritized these people coming over from like AEW had a really good opportunity here to capitalize on some of the stars that they were building.
Mm-hmm.
It was Wardlow or Orange Cassidy or the Lucha Dragons or the Elite or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
They really had an opportunity to create that pool of star mm-hmm. that fans had not really come to know yet. And they had an opportunity to really build that and use guys like Chris Jericho or a couple other people to get those new stars over. And instead, they didn't do that. They just kept hiring people from WWE and bringing in new names and prioritizing them for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, and then pushing them to the side again, which not only lost the momentum for the people who were coming in, but also just completely ignored the ones that they had. And then you have the MJF debacle and you have the CM Punk debacle. And just there was a lot of things that I was just like, I mean, we aren't behind the scenes, so we don't know exactly what happened and how difficult this is for Tony Khan, but it really screamed of like, I don't know what to do with this big a roster. And I think he got ahead of himself and he just brought in too many people and didn't know how to handle it and didn't know how to deal with the egos and couldn't maintain control in on social media and behind the scenes. And I think it got away from him. And that's what I see as a really big issue for them, because now not only do you not have some of these people who have now left and maybe aren't coming back, but you have an entire pool of people who seem to be a little unhappy. Right, whether it's Andrade or Miro, who seem always to be a little bit unhappy, but you still have other guys that you could have done something with that don't seem to be too keen on the way that things have gone for them. And that, I think, is a concern, because you had this pool that was really, and the fans were really eager for something new. Right? They really wanted these new guys to take that step forward, and they were behind them. They were supporting them, and they were prepared to pay with their dollars. And AEW just said, you know what, let's just give this money to the WWE guys. And I thought that was a huge mistake. You know, some of those guys are great picks, but there were just too many of them.
And yeah,
I think that is going to cost AEW. I think they need to get that sorted out. If they don't figure that out in 2023, I think they're in trouble.
I mean, ultimately, we do now have MJF as champion, so I guess there's like, you know, there's a little ray of hope there. Yeah, but definitely next year there's guys. I mean, Andrade is injured and stuff, but yeah, next year there's some people that deserve to be booked better, and hopefully they do get booked better next year. I am liking the Ricky Starks stuff at the moment, and then the Jungle Boy Hook thing I'm kind of enjoying too. I think that's kind of a good spot for those two to be in at this moment in their careers, you know. I'm seeing some positive signs for sure.
Yeah, they just need to, I think they need to keep doing those things and find that lane, because we're already hearing whispers of Punk wanting to come back, and then things like Jericho's told the locker room, no, there's no way I'm letting him back. And he's not even the guy to make that decision, but he's already apparently saying that to people. So, and then you got FTR saying they want Punk back. Like there's a lot of like mixed signals coming from that locker room and from behind the scenes there. I think they just need to figure out what direction they want to go and commit to it. Right. And once they've done that, I think they'll be all right. But they got to get that sorted out, because if they just keep trying to, you know, that old saying, if you try to serve everybody all the time, you're going to end up pleasing nobody most of the time. And it's just I think that's a mistake if they don't figure out what they want to do with their product. And somebody needs to help Tony Khan just be the guy that says, you put the foot down. Right. Like, this is what I'm doing. We're going this direction. We're to it. And if you don't like it, too bad. Right.
Yeah, he does need like a, you know, a sort of sporting director, like someone to just kind of maintain order in the locker room, you know. Maybe, listen, I I think I you know, I've always thought that Wrestler's Court was very dumb, but maybe they need it.
maybe
AEW needs Wrestler's Court. Maybe they need to hire JBL, come and steal JBL from WWE.
Yeah, I mean, it's, there's something to be said for being able to, you know, little law and order amongst your group, right? Mm-hmm. Not letting people get out of hand, because it is really, you know, the inmates running the asylum in a lot of ways over there. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. All right, Norman, that was fun. We wanted to keep it short today just to quickly talk about some news and our look back at 2022. Our next show, which we're going to be recording right away and we'll deliver right in the first part of 2023, will be a sort of New Year's resolution show. We'll talk about 2023, what we're expecting, what we're hoping to see, what direction we think both AEW and WWE will go. And of course, we're going to have the Royal Rumble coming up here pretty quick. So we'll be talking a little bit about that and the road to WrestleMania. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. It's another edition of the Sportster Show brought to you by thesportster.com. Don't forget, download, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Have a fantastic New Year's Eve and enjoy the rest of what is left in 2022. Be safe, and we'll talk to you in 2023. Thanks, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.